Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey Podcast. By the faithful and for the faithful. And the faithful, Bruce, were sorely tested tonight. Not by the Edmonton Oilers, but by the NHL's cockamamie, ridiculous system of rules around video review. I don't know if I've ever, like, after Corey Perry interfered blatantly with Cam Talbot and that goal was allowed, I almost didn't feel like watching. I was having a hard time watching the rest of the game and concentrating on it. It was so disheartening. It was such an appalling mistake. And then to be followed up by this weird thing where they, on this terrible rule, the offside challenge rule, which would have gone in the Oilers' favor if they could have challenged it, but they couldn't challenge it because they had already used their timeout. I mean, I didn't even want to watch that game, Bruce, after all that happened. It was disgusting. It was a disgusting display of refereeing and ineptitude by the NHL around their system of rules in hockey.
Well, it's double indemnity. It's doubling down when you screw up a call, and part of the screw up is not only do you get a goal scored against you, but you get your timeout stripped from you. And when that costs you a second goal, that is pretty hard to take. 2-2, and it was like the 2-2 scoreline just seemed totally unfair. It just seemed like, nope, hockey gods, which include men in stripes and whatever, they weren't in our corner in this one, and that's for sure.
How does this scoreline sound to you, Bruce? Oilers 3, Ducks 2, Referees 2. I guess we should laugh about it, man, because that, like, there's not. If you can't laugh, you're just going to stop watching NHL hockey.
Well, it's random enough as it is, but, I mean, they have these reviews, and the reviews themselves are totally random. I mean, last game I could have swore Buddy's skate was over the blue line on the offside. I hate the rules, so I didn't bitch about the fact it went against the Oilers. I'm not even going to bitch about the 2-2 goal tonight, other than it would have gone in Edmonton's favor because the rule was cockamamie, but it was overruled by another cockamamie rule that made the first one irrelevant. But the goaltender interference, I mean, Talbot is taking up his space in the paint, facing a shot. Perry comes in, takes his, to me, he put his hip into his blocker and his skate into his skate. And they're saying, well, Talbot's skate was a centimeter outside the blue paint, therefore fair game. Perry can go in. That is opposite to about 90 other calls that I've seen. Like, watching the play as dispassionately as I could, I was saying, well, usually this call goes against the attacking team because he clearly clipped the goalie and spun him and he couldn't make the save. And yet all of a sudden now it's a good goal.
So, I was certain it was going to be called off. And, you know, so people, if people...
Never be certain with these guys.
Yeah.
Never.
If there's any non-Oiler fans who ever listen to this podcast, they're probably thinking by now, we'll hear these two grumpy Oiler fans complaining because the call went against their team. Well, we are two grumpy Oiler fans. That's accurate. But other people who aren't weighed in. So Carey Fraser, the former 30-year referee, he tweeted out, I thought there was sufficient contact and evidence to support coach's challenge and disallow the goal. Then Ron McLean, who is the single biggest apologist for referees, because he is a referee.
Right.
He's reffed at a high level. He's a gentleman. So he's not inclined to criticize anyone in any case. But even Ron McLean, here's what he had to say. After looking at three different variations on a solution to what happened on the goaltender interference call, it's in my humble opinion, the wrong call. And I was going to support the National Hockey League on this decision. We also had Kelly Harudy weighing in, and they asked him, you know, what's your verdict? And he said goalie interference. They both came to the same conclusion, which is just so basic. Talbot didn't have a chance to stop that shot to make the save because Perry got in his way and moved into him to stop him from making that save. And it's so obvious when you watch the replay. I mean, you see Perry fly by, bump into the guy, and then it's almost like a half second later, the net bulges with the goal going in. I mean, it was just, anyway, it's just ridiculous. I just was hating. I hated the NHL in that moment, Bruce.
I hated the NHL periodically because it's run by a bunch of stumble bums. I got to say, like, they can't find their ass with two hands in league office. And it's not just the botched review system. It's the botched just about everything that they touch. And I mean, it's just so frustrating.
It's time for Bettman to go. He's ultimately responsible for all this stuff. He's got to go. He botched the Olympics. He kept them out of the Olympics. He's got this incredibly horrible rule, this offside rule that's been going all year. He's not doing anything about it. Like, just get out. Like, leave. Your time is done. You've been here long enough. Thank you very much. Go.
Not going to happen.
Yeah. So what did you think of the Oilers, the shell-shocked, soul-crushed Oilers response, Bruce? Well, yeah, I'll just give you some scoring chance numbers. Before then, the Oilers were up 2-0. They were up 8-4 in scoring chances. After that, it was 10-1 in the second period for scoring chances for the Ducks. They just took over the game after that. So, what do you think?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the Oilers, they lost the plot. And in a sense, they reminded me what happened to Chicago Cubs after Steve Bartman interfered with that foul fly ball. You know, like, it was a bad play, it was bad luck, stuff went wrong. But then the team fell apart, is what happened to the Cubs. And what happened to the Oilers in the second period was the team fell apart. They got outshot 21-5. By your count, the scoring chances were 12-2 in the second period. Obviously, 3-0. And that's the third time in two games where the Ducks put 3 in a row up against the Oilers. And you don't win games by allowing three straight goals to go into your net, typically. They just didn't have the answers. And they were losing battles galore, board battles and face-off battles. On each of the goals, regardless of what gray area of the rules may have been impinged, an Oiler made a key mistake. Everly made a terrible weak clearance on the first goal, the goalie interference goal.
Two weak clearances, yeah, and he yeah, didn't cover. And he did, play. And he didn't cover Getzlaf, yeah. Who was his man to cover. It's funny because Bruce, if the internet hadn't gone radioactive over the referee, Everly would have been, everyone would have been screaming his name with the, I guess we know the answer, whether he needs a pat on the back or a kick in the butt after getting the whole city kicking him in the butt. He totally played without any confidence. It reminded me of watching him of the last days of Justin Schultz, a player who has no confidence and is spent.
Well, to that I can say, thanks, city. I don't see how it helps for people to be all over a player. I got to, into it with a couple of keyboard warriors who came after me on Twitter and called me his Everly my golden boy, because I'm an Oiler fan. I cheer for all the Oilers. And I don't get this business of separating somebody out from the herd and attacking him. And I don't see how that helps. I don't see how that makes the city look good. I'm just...
Well, a mistake by McClellan too, Bruce, because he fed into it. The coach should have resisted the leading question by the reporter and not created this. He was.
That didn't create it. That just added one more log to the fire. It was already raging. So anyway, that was the first goal. On the second goal, Letestu got overwhelmed by Getzlaf. Well, I guess that's going to happen when one guy is 50 pounds better and about $7 million better than the other guy. And then, Klefbom lost his battle on his side in a nothing play, and the puck was in the net.
Talbot might have stopped that pass out as well, honestly. Like, it was pretty close to his crease, that one. It came flying right through, so.
The third goal, I mean, Talbot did make a terrific save to blunt his chance. The rebound went out to RNH, and he held the puck for an extra split second, and Getzlaf cruised in, and RNH lost that battle so badly, the puck went straight from his stick to into the Oilers' net. Like, that was really bizarre how quickly that went sideways.
And it seemed like he had a second just to shoot it out of the slot. But
he relaxed to look for a play instead of puck protecting. And, you know, and again, we're talking about, players not the 19 or 20, 21-year-old guys on the team making these mistakes tonight, but they've got 24, 26, even 30-year-old guys that were burned on those plays.
And Bruce, on that play, it started down You know, Oscar Klefbom has been playing really solid defensive hockey in these playoffs, but man, that was a return to his worst kind of form struggles in the regular season when plays would come down his side. That play came down his side of the ice, passed him in the middle, and Larson and Eberle allowed the initial shot, I believe, and they couldn't clean up the mess, and then right. RNH could not do it either. Larson, of course, had the giveaway on the winning goal. Klefbom made mistakes on 7 scoring chances against Larson on 6. So they have wow. they have been playing well up until this game, but man, they got eaten alive. They really, really struggled in this game. So I'm hoping, because they have been playing so well in the last month, that that's the anomaly. But that was one rough ride that they got from, mainly from Getzlaff's line, I think, and Getzlaff's line.
Getzlaff had 4 points and went +4 in a 4-3 win. So, yeah, I think it was Getzlaff's line. Holy moly.
Did the Oilers have no answer game? To that guy, Bruce.
No.
Wow.
No, and they got the one sort of big center that they've got playing on the wing, and maybe that's what they got to look at this point, is that seeing Getzlaff dominate the physical battles to the degree that he did, you know, like... He won a battle against Letestu, small center. He won a battle against RNH, small center, that wound up in the net. Now, on the winning goal, I thought that, and the puck was on the near board, so you couldn't actually see the puck, but I thought from the one angle, Raquel actually sort of chopped Larson's stick, and that's why he got nothing on the pass. He got checked.
Could well be. But, that's the case. It's still a battle lost.
It's a battle lost, and they got outnumbered, and there was only one forward anywhere near the screen, and he wasn't anywhere near enough the puck or the goal scorer to do anything about it.
Yeah, that was a – so what I saw was Slepyshev and RNH shift off there, and I have no idea why they would do that. The puck's coming back to your end. I guess maybe they thought –
40 seconds.
It should have been icing. I guess it wasn't – you know, they could have had icing, but it wasn't icing. They waved it off. You shouldn't get off – you got to come back and defend. I think you do not shift off either of those players. And I think that contributed to that, to Raquel being so wide open in the slot in that moment.
Yeah, well, I'd have to look at that play again. And sometimes it's a matter where one guy can maybe change, but two guys can't. And who went first and who went second? And the fact that they've got a rookie now playing on their top six and starting overtime, that there could be a rookie mistake involved. I'm not going to say there was. I'm just going to say it's a possibility to look for, because I didn't examine the play, you know, in terms of the line change aspect of it. I just noticed the wide open spaces in Edmonton territory in the first bloody minute of overtime.
So that was Raquel who got that one. I marked that down in credit. I had it as Silverberg, but that was Raquel.
Silverberg scored the goal. It was Raquel who chopped Larson in the corner, okay. Checked Larson, and of course the puck went straight to bloody Getzlaff, just like the other 100 times.
Hey, the Oilers did get
going
some...
on and yeah, he's got it going on, and he can skate wherever he wants, and there ain't an Oiler or a referee that's going to do thing one about it.
The Oilers did get some puck luck in the first period. Kessler, that was very sweet to see Ryan Kessler tip the puck to Lucic, who put it in. And Lucic also, I thought, right after that, he just totally bowled over a player with a cross check and got away with it. So there was some luck as well. So not all the calls went.
And McDavid's goal, I mean, he got a fortunate bounce. He made that extra pass back to Draisaitl, and the pass was anticipated by the defenseman, but deflected right back to McDavid, who roofed it. So that was kind of a bit of a broken play. I mean, none of the three Oilers goals are anything to really write home about.
All righty, well, man. That was really disheartening. That was really
2-2.
I guess if you can go back to the old, well, if someone said heading into this series that after 4 games it would be tied 2-2, Oilers fans, would you take that? And we'd all be cheering and clapping and saying, yes, we would gladly take that. So here we are. It's 2-2, and the Oilers, I thought, really played well in the first period. They deserved mm-hmm. to be up in the game. Probably a more deserving score would have been probably 1-0, but we'll take 2-0 at that point. They again showed in the first period, I thought, that they can play with this team. And You know, if extraordinary things aren't happening with the referees, perhaps. So I'm still optimistic, actually. I was optimistic before this game. I thought they were going to win the game, and I thought they were well on their way to that before the referee had such a major impact on the game. So I'm disheartened about that, but really not so much about the Oilers. I think they're still really in this. They've shown some strong runs of play, in the first period, the second period, last game. So we'll see. What about you?
Well, I think the veteranness of the Ducks is really starting to hold sway. Here's a god-awful statistic for you. The Oilers' three young centers, Draisaitl, Nugent-Hopkins, and McDavid, combined won seven faceoffs and lost 28. They won 20% out of their 35 draws. They were just owned by, and it's getting worse as the series goes along.
It was
But
not
you,
Nugent Hopkins' best game at all. Oh.
man. So, and that's, I mean, Letestu was 9-8, and DeHarnay was 5-1. So the vets kind of held their own, but the three young fellows just got eaten
How about
alive.
RNH with Draisaitl checking Getzlaf's line? Like that's what I want to see. I think you really came hit on something there, Bruce. And I know I've been, of course, I responded well to that because all year I've had this thought that Draisaitl and McDavid shouldn't be on the same line. That to beat Anaheim, a team with two big centers, you need a big center. And yeah, I think that thought is being proven out. And I would really like to see them go back to that line of Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, and Maroon was exceptional in the last two periods of game three. And I think that's a line that might have a chance against Getzlaf's line, or if Kessler's line, if that's who they end up against, they will really have a chance against those guys. So I'd like to see that, and I hope that's the direction that they go, because I do think this is a tactical issue that McClellan needs to address.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why he's got the line set up the way that he has, but this business of, the size is on the wings and not down the middle, and maybe that's the imbalance where they're one of the battles they're losing, because Kessler and especially obviously Getzlaf are having their way with a lot of the sort of physical battles that are going on out there. Now, a good word to be said for young Drake Caggiula, who scored the tying goal with under 2 minutes to play. And that's a good time to get his first point and a pretty huge play. I think that guy, he's one of those guys, he's going to score some important goals because he seems to, I don't know, he's got a lot of game to me. He's young and he's got a long ways to go. And I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be a contributor to this team for a
I
few
wouldn't
years.
mind to see him with McDavid. I thought they played well previously. And yeah, that might work again. Him and Lucic, I don't know. But and McDavid. But I think they're gonna have to try something because Getzlaf is running right over top of them like a big
Yeah, well, I'm not sure who'd be able
tiger
to
tank.
stop him the way he's playing right now. He's feeling it. Cat troubles.
Yeah, cat troubles had to knock him off the cradle. Walking on our countertops, sniffing the pots. Oh, that cat. All right.
Jacob Silverberg tonight, nine shots on net, and
He's killing. He's killing. He
Talbot
looks.
stoned him again and again, but he had no answer for that one time
Yeah. He's
rocket
like.
in overtime.
It's like Mike. He's like the reincarnation of Mike Bossy out there, man. He's just the ghost who ends up like with all these great shots all the time. So,
Yeah,
yikes.
or Benoit Hogue, maybe, Oiler killer.
Silverberg's better than Benoit Hogue, I
No,
think.
I know. I'm
Well,
just
we'll see. Who knows?
finding a name that's just rankling my exposed nerve endings that much more.
Alrighty, well, Bruce, I think it's time for you to get to work and for me to go to bed. So, yeah, you're gonna do the game grades. All right. Yeah,
Yeah.
and this is one of those great nights, Bruce, where the Oilers have lost, and we're probably gonna get like 15 readers for our stories tomorrow because everyone
Well,
loves reading about the Oilers after they lose. So, Yeah. So yeah. Bring your A game, man.
Yeah. I'll see what
for those 15 readers.
I'll see what can be done. I might be a little bit in a terse frame of mind. I've already written an expansive introduction, so the grades are going to get down to the nuts and bolts.
What is there to say? I mean, it's the game is so dominated by that one call.
Well, what there is to say is not fit for a family newspaper, so I'm not sure what's left for me to say.
Hey, this blog's on the internet. It's the Wild West, man. So,
okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right, Bruce. Thanks for talking. And we'll be back. When's the next game? Friday?
Friday, Sunday. So we've got six. We're going six for sure.
Yeah.
And we'll see. And the Ducks, you know, they've lost in seven the last 4 years in a row. They've been eliminated on their own ice in game seven. So that's still the scenario.
Hey, here's a cheery thought, Bruce. The Edmonton Oilers are playing hockey in May.
Yeah. Good luck. So,
there you go. All righty, man. Thanks. And thanks for everyone for listening to the podcast. And in the meantime, and in between time, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.